about the future plans. Second one is for us, I guess. The briefing or an update on the water plan. And also processes that are taking place within the local sphere and also development. There are development ones quite aware of those that are taking place in the local municipalities and also in province. Some are ahead of others, but at the end, the aim is to pull together. For your own purposes, do your own planning in terms of your own programs. That water master plan has to be in place so that we get a sense as to whether you are going or not. A number of questions have been raised about this very important resource. Where do we have it mainly concentrated at? A number of factors are driving that. Where we have major rainfall, and also chiefly the dam that we have, those that we still have in control of, and overall, the major question that we always raise about the ownership of our water resource now. Now, those are the two areas that are the issues that we will deal with. A few apologies have been submitted. Mr. Makondo sent me very late last night a text that talks to his commitment, conditional commitment in Pulman. And also Mrs. Masavani is attending the Agriculture Committee. The rest have indicated that they were running late, Chaupin, Dekan, and Kaur. Now, those are the few apologies that we have. Deputy Minister, we have those two items.
Sir, listen, I don't know how many times we're going to raise this concern, but there's no way that we as members of the portfolio committee can prepare ourselves for meetings if we receive documents the morning we get here. Chairperson, you made a ruling on this matter a few weeks ago to say that the meeting will not go ahead if we don't get this prize. The only document that I had on this is what I got from the document that was sent by Parliament. But Chair, I don't know when and how we're going to draw the line in the sand about this. But really, I would like to come to a meeting prepared. I'm unprepared as I'm sitting here. And I don't feel comfortable discussing documents that I haven't received prior to. But it's not something that we've changed around. They knew a long time ago that we would get it, that they would have to have these documents ready. So I wanted to make a ruling on this issue.
Any fellow comments from other members?
Thanks, Chair. I just want to second that. You know, some of us make an effort to get here on time and to do what we're supposed to do. But I understand when things happen. But as far as documentation is concerned, this meeting was scheduled more than a week ago already. And we knew what the agenda was going to be. So it's a bit unacceptable that we only get to hand a document when we sit down in the meeting. How are we going to prepare? So our job to do oversight, and we need to be able to do that properly. Please help assist us by capacitating us on time.
Deputy Minister, the issues are straightforward. I've got a call from Madia this morning, indicating that we've only got the PowerPoint presentation this morning around 8. Problem that we've spoken about family. The point of view is very clear that if we don't get the admission by the department the week before, we shall then have to come to the team, for lack of a better word. The point was also made that those that have been responsible for such late submission be held responsible for all the costs incurred. And we went further and said, we shall then be. A formal processing of such a cost recovery be submitted to our committee. So that doesn't require those that are decided upon and having to simply vanish. Now, these are the issues that we raised in one meeting. It corrects me, but it really makes it very, very difficult for us to do our work. And especially with the two areas that we're dealing with, the irrigation board and also the water plant. Together, of course, with the construction units, we are getting two more with submissions of this project. That's not a difficulty that we put up here. Any comments?
You have a calendar, you have numbers that these are our last few days before Kolkata. Our program, therefore, cannot go beyond unless there was some emergency or mandatory legislation. So having to postpone or reschedule such meetings becomes a serious problem. From outside. If we have to shift this to another term that is after recess, it becomes a major challenge. The kind of programs that we are going to be having when we come back, we don't have control over those. We still have to come up with that program. And to a very large extent, it would be one of those required by the legislation for us to proceed. We shall be heading towards the annual report. Now that's a challenge.
Via the political authority. But I don't think that's what we need at all.
You want to have your last bite, sir, Mr. Chairperson?
Chairperson, I agree with Gary. I accept the apology from the minister, but I would also like to hear that it's not the minister's responsibility. And it's not nice hearing the minister apologize on behalf of the department every time. And on that I agree that people must step up to the plate and take the responsibility in every piece. And eventually it is the DG's responsibility. And he must act on the people that should have sent the stuff, and not the minister. But I agree, let's go ahead, Chairperson. Maybe ask more questions that we normally would ask, because as we go through the document. But we need to get to a point where we stop getting us on the last page. Thank you, Chairperson.
Okay, then Mr. Wynne, sir.
But then we are living, we must live. consequence management. Whoever is failing to do that, there must be actions taken against him or her. Because you know, we know politics. Political leaders always take a blame. Because you see, because people who are actually supposed to take the blame are officials. And if we don't discipline the officials, well, this thing will keep on coming. You apologize, they do the thing. You apologize, what are we doing to the people down there? So I will be asking the minister, the deputy minister, to be tough on the DG, so that the DG must be tough to the people who are accounting to him. And those people who are accounting, because this stream of accountability. Any person who does not do his or her job must be taken into task. But you know, the political party, this leading political party, ANC, they are implementable. You can implement them. But it's hard if officials, administrators fail to implement those policies. We can keep on passing as many policies as on ever, but if the people who are supposed to do that are not doing it, at the end, we'll be failing. If they are failing us, let us fail them. Through taking drastic measures against those who are failing us. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Chairperson. I think that from the opposition side, we would also just want to say that it is not good that you receive approximately, and that the practice will be continued. As a matter of fact, I have issued a paper to the leader that concerns documents late to the Portfolio Committee, and so I'm not in any chair. The regular update is the 9th of June, where I was saying that the staff is absent. So we will make sure that the necessary follow-up is made, so that we don't send documents late.
Now, I want to tell you that the points raised by the Deputy Minister sound be our guiding light going forward. To a point where we had a discussion last week regarding the suspension of one official. And the meeting progressed to a point where we even had to get the actual communication. We tried that meeting for two and a half hours. On a non-issue, quite frankly. Going forward, our meetings, if such conduct is existing, we shall have to find ourselves in a situation where we need to think about getting to know exactly who is the official responsible for such a misconduct. Because you really have to get to that point so that we don't just continue generalizing. It is the DG, the authority who is responsible for such a continuous misconduct. The point where we get to the point where we ask, say, here is this official, here is this chief director, and that person has a name. Here is this director. You will call it names. That kind of stuff. Naming and shaming. But it will not end. That's the extent in which we would not wish to take our oversight role in where we are to be able to say, but here there is this misconduct. Tell us as to how you're dealing with it. Because it cannot continue unabated. So I just thought I should leave you Minister and the CG and the officials who those people not. Members have said it all. The people who are being expected to do the work are the officials, who are expected to implement are the officials. So if the officials are not in that role, the members of parliament will know what. Okay, having said so,
you know that Carol comes to credit for the research I've been doing. You never tell her my name, I'm going to tell you. Then the third one, I've got to tell my life, I said, well, I'm going to tell you how to do that. I'm going to tell you how to do that. So that I'm going to tell you how to do that. I'm going to tell you how
will I also be giving thanks in terms of translating this document into another channel? Because I also that actually done for me.
we did look into this matter and bring it to a point where I had to refer it to the House Chair, Mr. Prolet. Looking at how best can we deal with the issues related to translation and also interpretation, where you have a person dedicated to, and also translation from English to Zulu or Swana or Fiji or Shandan or Kota. Now, they were meant to come back to me. Maria, can you also recall what Constantine was asking?
The unification has actually been in context of interpretation with regards to this issue. And the feedback that I got from them on more than one occasion is the lack of capacity in that section to actually do the translation, particularly in terms of the documents, to the point where they actually have to outsource it to external companies at the cost that's not budgeted for in this section. A further challenge in this regard is the fact that because the committee gets the documentation late, but actually provides, even the external service provides very little time to translate. So for example, if we got the documentation this morning, there's no way that they would have been able to translate it in time, even a day before the need, at least a week in order to do that service. They're still busy working on it, but the issue within the section is the issue of capacity and the fact that there's no budget for that in the section because they have to outsource it to outside companies.
It remains our parliamentary internal process, not so much of the departmental issue. Mr.
Chairman, I don't want to answer the question. It goes back to what we said before. Submission for permission. If the department makes sure that they submit the permission, it will then go to the the issue of capacity is something else. But if the government is submitted on time, then I think we should be checked on the point that we have to be taken to that. If you are saying 1 hour, then we have to be there. The parliament has it.
Yeah, oppressed, we are still there.
means that I'm not a South African citizen. Then you don't have to be put on to me, but I need No more have a sense of it, I've got to live, but of course, when I'm not a child. Yeah, well. Oh, we look over to that, we look over to that. Kona la sisi la kona, atu wabala ama nandu chonga kona. Kona lene ye shangani. Iku wama juko la atu mausu kuluma kutuko ni shangani la, mbeto atu tulaka nyerani. Tunu wa sawi zomu kulu mzu yi mbeo ranjani. Abisha na mdo njani, nula isa tafura na mwa ukamu wa mapani. Iku koni de uti ya, mazi mazi uti kisho ye ni chao, ez jenge uti shangani.
There's one other thing that I'm not happy about. I don't know how it will be to me, but I'm not referring to this meditation. I feel that I'm not to take freely as a South African citizen, but my life is not here. One other thing that I've also had to bring to your attention is the fact that whenever we go out to oversight, what I've noticed is that the people who are interpreting are no longer allowed to vote. So that is a problem to me because seemingly now my right is being violated. Would you also please look into this matter? And then the other one to this is the issue of Shemati. I hope you watch the
Can we say to say that the rest of the issues raised by Ms. Mankau have no relevance for now? They are important, and they are our own internal issues for processing. I can only say to say that we did hear them. Madia wanted to respond. These are issues that are internally our own parliamentary dynamics. So what the department does, they send us one document. Mr. Chauke is spot on. If we had time for us to be able to go through the process of translation, we shall have been able to give that opportunity. But for now, all the other issues we shall have packed them for now. And then we'll come back to those in due course. Now, that talks to us either going on oversight or going on self-talk or whatever. So that general discussion we will have to take. But Amadia does certainly have received the issues raised, but for processing. We shall have to again see how best to go, especially if we get the document in time. See how that process with all the property issues that relates to it. The things of service and alimony, which is Kobe again. Leave you, raise are you. Raise it. As now, the Muslim is a good guy with department. It's really a world. Much they will Kobe at our hope. Good raise are, some issues are raised. But yes, so many things to cut say to China. The department in the echo. This is where I'm at. Thank you. Deputy Minister, we have raised all the apologies to members. Welcome, Mr. Stefano. Stefano?
This morning, the Deputy Chair and honored members, the senior management of Water and Sanitation, ladies and gentlemen. Good morning. Chair, we have in the agenda two items, water and sanitation on the irrigation board and water master plan. That's what we're going to present today. The first one, chair, is the segregation board. It has two sections. The first one is the breakdown to the existing status quo and transformation challenges. Then the second one will be approved policy positions and principles to reform education board and water user associations. The last one is the departmental support program to achieve transformation objectives. Chair, I'm going to, because I'm with the whole team, and I want to check with the Member of Parliament whether we should introduce ourselves for the record, or because it's the same people that were here last week, and I want to get that from you, Chair, the introduction. Okay. I will start from this corner. You introduce yourself, and then after that, I will come to request the Chair, I mean the DG, to take us to the highlights of the presentation and also hand over to a person responsible.
We're quite familiar with the table, right? Yeah, let's get straight to the issues.
Okay, Chair, thank you very much. I'm going to now hand over to the DG to take us to the highlights of the presentation. Thank you very much.
Mr. President, honorable members, without further ado, I would allow the 15 CDC regulations to take the
where we highlighted the critical issues of decoupling water and land issues. As DM has already stated that our presentation will be in three sections, so I will just go through the first section. And the first section is mainly around the background, the historical evolution of the irrigation board, the challenges that we have faced in terms of trying to transform this. I think I'm moving on to page 5. If you look at their historical developments, we can trace them in 1912, where they were established under the Conservation Act, the Irrigation and Conservation Act of 1912, which recognized them legally as entities. And that act was repealed when the 1956 Act was promulgated, and it also confirmed their legal establishment, and it gave them the critical function of ensuring that we monitor and protect water resources, and that their responsibility was also to deal with unlawful abstraction of water, and also to exercise general supervision over all public streams within the irrigation district. So the country was divided into irrigation districts, and under each irrigation district there was a sort of a local level institution that is responsible for water resource management. And we also in the November last year emphasized what the 1956 Act did in terms of the, that it promoted the riparian rights system and vested most of the rights of water resources in commercial farmers in the irrigation. So I think the primary purpose it was of the irrigation boards when they were established. It was mainly to support
the farming among a poor white farmer. And the irrigation board also received government grants and support in terms of infrastructure and other loans. Some of the loans we have just finished, we guaranteed as government, and they have just finished paying them under the land grant. Then we moved from the 1956 Act, because the 1998 Act then came with a lot of emphasis around the transformation. And it therefore established and promoted to transform irrigation board into what is known today as Water User Association. And the Water User Associations are established in terms of Chapter 8 of the National Water Act. And the primary purpose is to enable better participation by historically disadvantaged individuals in the management of water resources at local level, and also to ensure the local integrated management of water resources. The main challenge between the movement from 1956 Act to the 1998 is that the irrigation boards, they continue to exist until they are established by the minister and through the National Water Act. So this is why you hear that they still exist in their current form. So we still need to transform some of them. We'll try to transform the 288 that we had before 1998, but we have transformed about 1999. So we still have about 100, more than 100 that we still need to transform. Yes, so I think I'm now on page 7, which is a graphical presentation of the historical institution, which indicates that in 1998 we had 278 irrigation boards, and therefore we transferred 52, and then currently we have 99 that have been transformed, and we still, that are still to be transformed. So yes, so those are the current figures. We have also distributed a list that outlines in detail which of them exist in which province. On slide 8, we have a graphical map that indicates the irrigation and water user association schemes that are currently managed by irrigation boards and water user associations. And those schemes are owned by the department under Mr. Manasi's section. We have only highlighted those that are significant, those that are above 100 million rand, which are significant in ensuring that there is local development, economic development in areas. So Chair, as you can see in the list, you'll find that the Eastern Cape one is not here. The Great Fish River is there, it's not there, but Hamdorf is not there because of the value of the scheme. So we have only highlighted those significant ones, but it will be in your list as a country. So I think although these institutions, it has been a challenge in terms of transformation, but if we look at the strategic benefits, the functions that they perform, I think there has been a lot of impact in terms of economic development in the country. You'll find that most of them have participated around the issues of food security. We have also had people that have been employed through the irrigation board. So there is, at a local level, some measurable improvement in terms of the livelihood of people. And I also think in terms of, it has also, they have participated in issues around improving the relationship between the land and water, and also in helping us in terms of monitoring the local rivers and also protecting the rivers, the ecosystem of the rivers is only in a good condition. So there have been benefits at the local level. I think if you look also in slide 10, I think in terms of what we have done around transformation, we have focused mainly on issues around sustainability and decision making at the management committee level. And the numbers have been difficult to increase, mainly because of the issue, the legacy issues around who owns land and water in the country. And we have found that the issue of access to land is the main issue and is at the center of why we have really not moved. Because in order to be a member of the irrigation board in the past, you needed to have access to water through a water use license or through access to land. And also the voting was done by the number of hectares of land that you have. So all those issues have really made us not to make an inroads on those issues. Also the issues of capacity and skills. As the department, we are responsible for water, but also to support also emerging farmers means that we need to understand the whole issue around agrarian reform, which is mainly the domain of the agricultural sector. So even though that we currently support, when we provide water to them, it is difficult for us to support them and train them to be emerging farmers. We depend on other departments. And in terms of the key transformation challenges that we face, is the issue of the over-allocation of resources. I think you have heard about the issues of allocation of water at 98% currently, and this is why we have embarked on the verification and validation process so that we can see how much water is owned by whom, whether it is legal, so that we can start the issues of reallocation of water. Most of the canals reached up, also the carrying capacity is limited, and we need additional capacity for us to reach the emerging farmers. The issues also of the efficiencies versus the aging infrastructure, and also some water losses, they create a problem. Some of the irrigation boards have their own privately owned infrastructure, and they have contributed through loans, and therefore it's difficult to instruct an irrigation board that has got its own infrastructure to say you need to bring on other people to participate in the scheme that you have budgeted or paid for with your own investment. I think the affordability and challenges for emerging farmers remains a problem. Some of these farmers, mainly in the Mpumalanga area, you find that the land that was earmarked for the historically disadvantaged is being repossessed because they cannot pay for water. So we are currently working together with the rural and land where they are already owing about millions of water to the department. There has also been problems in terms of the water reforms, in terms of the programs that enable them to for the department and then reforms to support emerging farmers. We find that sometimes there is no synergy amongst all of us who work together towards the common goal. And also the financial capacity to procure inputs and implement, it is a problem. For instance, for the worker in the Eastern Cape, it's a historical disadvantage. institution. It doesn't have any staff members, and therefore they cannot even pay. They are owing the department about 9 million rand. So, and they are not doing well also in terms of funding. So you expect them also to pay. So there is that a problem. The governance issues in terms of the composition of the board, it's a difficult one because I think the governance issues remain a problem.
I don't know. Yeah, and now, not so much.